week, and I want to thank him for that. If you'd stand tonight, we'll honor the reading of the Word of God found over the book of Ephesians, chapter number 6. Paul's writing now to the church of Ephesus. Paul is a seasoned veteran now. He's been around the block several times, and he writes this last chapter, and he says in verse 10, "Finally, my brethren." He's not talking to the world. He's talking to us. He says, "I want you to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." You may be seated tonight. Father, we love You. We thank You for the Lord Jesus and what You've done for us through Him on the cross. Lord, thank You that the tomb is empty tonight. Lord, want to pray for those families that are hurting so. God, those that have lost the little ones, Lord, and the loved ones, we pray for them this week. God, we pray for all of our missionaries tonight. God, these young people downstairs, and God, the little ones out back. I want to pray, God, Your hand to be about everything we do here. Help us in the teaching, and we'll be grateful in Christ's name. Amen and amen. Paul said in 11, put on. You've got to put on some things. We have responsibilities as children of God. You know, in order for your car to operate right, you've got to take it to the shop. It's got to be maintained. If something quits working, you've got to get it in to repair and get the thing going back. Well, so it is in the Christian life. You just don't wake up and go face the world without nothing. There's some things you've got to do and apply to be a Christian. Now, do we have victory in Jesus? Sure we do. But I think that we all share more defeats than we do victories. And I sure am glad that we have victory over death, hell, and the grave because Christ did. But He's telling us to do something as Christian. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Wiles means the arts used by a commander to take advantage of his enemy. He's a strategist. He specializes in strategy. He knows your weakness. He knows my weakness. And for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against powers and principalities and rulers of the darkness of this world and against spiritual wickedness in high places. Now take unto you the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, just to simply, where a lot of people in churches have quit doing, to stand. Just want you to stand. And then he says, I want you to have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Then he says, stand having your loins girt with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness. 16, above all, taking the shield of faith. Wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. He knows how to throw a dart. And take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. In verse 18, I want to deal with tonight, and praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Watching thereunto with all perseverance. That word is a persistency and supplication for all saints. Three thoughts tonight. I'll be done. The privilege of prayer. The preparation for prayer. And the purpose of prayer. Now, because of prayerlessness, we need to think about some things. If Jesus said this to His disciples, they came to a place that was named Gethsemane. And He said to His disciples, set ye here while I shall pray. And He taketh with Him Peter, James, and John, began to be sore amazed, be very heavy, and said, then my soul is exceedingly sorrowful to death. Tarry ye here and watch. He went forward a little and fell on the ground, and He prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from Him. Now, this is my simple question to you and myself tonight. If Jesus needed to pray, where does that put us tonight? He's the Son of God. He's God manifested in the flesh. He's the God-man. Now, if Jesus prayed, how much more should we be about praying? Now, the privilege. I want to tell you, first of all, we have an access as a Christian. I'm glad on Calvary's cross, He made a way for me and you to get to God. And it is in this privilege, there's an untold price. We take for granted a lot of things, as Brother Josh said tonight. A lot of things here we take for granted. Now, I tell you, another thing we take for granted is this thing of being able to get to God by prayer. And I'm going to tell you the reason we can get to God tonight is because He put His Son on a cross to be a mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Now, there's untold price of this access. In Hebrews 4 and verse number 16, this untold price. The writer of Hebrews, a lot of people got their opinion who wrote this. And, you know, opinions, everybody's got one. But I can tell you one thing, the Holy Ghost inspired it. And this is what He said in Hebrews 4 and verse number 16. Let us, therefore, come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Going to be a time as a Christian, you're going to need grace. You're going to need mercy. Ain't you glad we don't get justice? Oh, why do we all got what we deserve? You know, it's in my heart to try to build a church and a ministry that when people sin, they get right with God. You forget about it and go on for the glory of God. It's my heart, my purpose to try to build the people to realize anybody can fall. And we need the grace of God and the mercy of God. And just because we're children of God does not mean that we are immune to trouble. Look what He said, that we may find help in time of need. I'd love to tell you, because you come to church on Wednesday night, you'd have no issues. But I can tell you why we got issues. We are in a world with a real devil. We're robed with flesh that is real. We have within us a wickedness. We have in us a nature that wants to do more wrong than it does right. And so we better realize tonight that it took a cross to get us to God. We have access, this privilege. What a privilege to talk to God. And everybody don't have this privilege. I'll get to that in a minute. Untold price, this access. Romans 5, verse number 1 this evening. Romans 5, thank God this untold price. Therefore, being justified. That is a term that means that you've been declared not guilty. Being justified by faith. Look what we got. Peace with God. I'm glad I got peace with God. I'm glad I got peace of God. Look what He says. Through. Not the Pope. Not through the Baptist Church. Through our Lord Jesus Christ. By whom also watch. We have access. Access. Oh, we got access to heaven. We got access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Now tonight, this privilege, there's an untold price. Number two, there's an untrod path. I wonder how many's got a place they go every day and pray. Boy, our busy lifestyle, we're so caught up in busyness. Well, let me tell you, if we're too busy to pray, we're way too busy. There's an untold price. There's an untrod path. In Matthew 6 and verse number 5, here Jesus said something that would do us good to listen to. Matthew 6 and verse number 5. He said simply, when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues in the corners, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. Where's your closet? In other words, where's the place you pray? Where's the place that you enter into? And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly.
But when you pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do. For they think they shall be heard for their much speaking. Now tonight, this privilege, we have an access. A untold price, a untrod path. Folks, get ye a place where you pray. Get you a place that's handy where you can get to and pray. This untold price, this untrod path, but I believe there's an untapped power. Prayer changes things. And not to pray means things ain't changed. Let me say that again. Prayer changes things, and not to pray means things are not changed. Boy, we need to pray. The privilege, what a privilege to talk to God. But then, not only the privilege of prayer, the Bible teaches about a preparation of prayer. Now, first of all, this preparation of prayer. It is as we live that we pray. It is the life that prays. You know, look in 1 Timothy 2 and verse number 8. 1 Timothy 2 and verse number 8. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Now the preparation, look there at the defilement. Holy hands. Y'all see that tonight? I will therefore men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands. Defilement. Prayer, listen to me. If you don't get nothing, I want you to get three things tonight. This is one of them. Prayer and purity are partners. You're not going to touch God with a dirty heart. He's waiting to hear you say, I'm sorry. He's waiting to hear me and you confess our sin. Holy hands. He wished men everywhere with holy hands. It does matter what's on our hands. Holy hand. You don't hear much preaching in the Baptist churches about holiness no more. About separation from the world. Seems like most Baptist churches want all the world to come up in the church. Our forefathers stood to keep the world out of the church. Holy hands. And so this preparation there, we've got to be on guard about defilement. This preparation has to do without defilement. We need a heart cleansed from the disease of sin by the blood. We need a life cleansed from the desires of sin by the Holy Ghost. And we need our conduct cleansed from defilement of sin by obedience to the Word of God. You know, a lot of times we think our children ain't listening, but our children are listening to the Word of God. A lot of times I feel like nobody's listening. It's just vain repetitions, and I get up and preach and preach and preach. But you know, it's amazing. Just one little nugget can go in your heart what it'll keep you from for a lifetime. Now, he says the preparation of prayer, he wished every man everywhere would pray with holy hands. Then he says something else. Not only is he talking about defilement, but he says without wrath. He's speaking of the term of discord. Now, discord does three things. It destroys a church's testimony. It displays the triumphs of the flesh. And three, it delights the devil. Well, the devil loves discord. Loves discord. The devil would love to have this place tore all to pieces tonight. But can I tell you, it's never been an altar. It's never been an argument that an altar couldn't settle. Never been a dispute that an altar can. We might not always agree, but we can't agree to disagree. Now, this preparation has to do with defilement, holy hands, has to do with discord, wrath, but it has to do with doubting. Look what he said. He said, I will that men would pray everywhere, lifted up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Prayer and belief must go together. Prayer and belief has got to go together. It's praying and saying, God, I'm asking you to do it, and I know you're going to do it. You told me you'd do it, and I'm trusting you that you're going to do it. Can I give you a simple definition tonight of faith? What is faith? Faith is simply taking God's word at what He said to be true. That's faith. Faith in what He has said to be true. And He said He'd take care of you? Well, He's going to take care of you. And He said He's going to whoop you if you get out of line. He's going to whoop you if you get out of line. And He said that blessed be the man that would follow in the steps of the Word of God. He said He'd bless you for living right. Well, write it down. He's going to bless you for living right. It does pay to serve God. You can't make me think no different. You may not be up yonder in White Oak Subdivision, but you'll have things that money cannot buy. Now the preparation, talking about defilement, discord, but doubting. Men everywhere would pray with faith. Now, I want to key in on this last thought tonight of our, not only our privilege, thank God we've got an access, and our preparation. We it's some things that is involved in order to get in touch with God. We've got to have clean hands. We've got to be right with each other. And we can't doubt. We've got to trust Him and believe that what He said will happen. But number three, not only the privilege and the preparation, but I want to deal with the purpose. What is prayer for? First of all, prayer is to have a contact with God. There must be a relationship with God in order for God to hear your prayer. I've heard all across this country, people mean well. Our prayers go with you. We're praying for you. Well, let me tell you, the only people that can pray is those that know His Son. They're the only ones that can reach heaven. There's not a Buddha. There's not an Allah. God listens to the cries of His children. And only His children. Look in the Bible. John chapter 9, verse 31. John 9, verse 31. Prayer is contact with God. There must be a relationship with God for Him to hear us. John 9 and verse number 31. Now we know that God heareth not sinners. But if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth His will, him he heareth. Now how do we worship God? In spirit and in truth. The natural man cannot worship God with a natural spirit. That's why He said you must be born again. When God's Spirit comes and lives with us, then the Spirit in us reacts to His Spirit. And we worship Him in His Spirit and truth. We can't worship God as a natural man. We must take the Spirit of God in us. That's when God's Spirit starts stirring and moving. The Spirit in us, we that are saved, it stands to attention at times. Moves on us. We begin to weep or we begin to shout. People look around like what's happening. The Spirit of God's not in them. And I know everybody don't run and shout. But I can tell you this, if the Spirit of God lives in you, you'll know it. And let me tell you something tonight, folks. Prayer is contact with God. There must be a relationship with God. A lot of people are saying prayers that's not even getting out of their ceiling because they're not a child of God. Look what the Word says. We know that God heareth not sinners. Don't tell me men living a lifestyle the way some men live and get on national TV and say our prayers are with you. Their prayers ain't doing nothing. You give me some backwood folks, or you give me some downtown folks that sold out to Jesus and got their heart right. Let them get on their face. God hears the prayers of His young'uns. The purpose, prayer is contact with God. A father-child relationship must be established. John 1, verse number 11. John 1, verse number 11. A father-child relationship must be established. John 1, verse number 11. I heard a man preach one time and he said, you don't have to ask Jesus to save. You don't have to do nothing. Well, the Bible says you do. The Bible says you got to receive Him. He came to His own. Who is that? The Jews. And His own received Him not. And what we ought to do is turn the lights off right now and run all the way and shout to Ranburn that He's turned to the Gentile people. And give us a chance. I got a big question for you tonight. What would have happened if they would have received Him? But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. I love your children, but I would be up here talking in hogwash tonight to tell you that your children affected me like my children. That'd be a lie. My kids can call me on the phone. They ain't got to tell me who that is. I know who it is. My mama tickles me in the nursing home. She'll say, Ken, honey, this is your mama. Like I didn't know it was my mama. Well, ain't you glad God knows who we are? There must be a relationship with God. Do you have that relationship? Do you know that you know that you're born again by the grace of God? I'm not talking about religion. I'm not talking about if you're a good person. I went last week home, Christmas. God favored me enough to let me go to one of my favorite people in the world, one of my uncles. My whole family was raised in religion, knew nothing about the Spirit of God, knew nothing about, never heard a preacher saying you must be born again, never heard it. All I heard is be baptized, baptized, baptized. Knew nothing about the workings and the doings of God. He's 80 years old and I had a burden for him. And I went to his house and I got ready to leave. I said, I've got to ask you this because I love you. Are you ready to meet God? And you know what he said at 80 years old? Ken, I've lived a good life. Let me tell you, the Bible says there's none good. No, not one. We've got to be born again by the grace of God. There's a mentality that long as you do good and you get there, if you're good outweighs you bad, you get in. But that don't work. If we can do good to get in, then that means we can do bad to get out. You must be born again. There's none good, no, not one. His brother was on his deathbed. I called him from my house. I said, Uncle, I've called to ask you something. Are you ready to meet God? You know what he said? Well, I've lived a pretty good life. I've just drunk a little. You can never take a drink. You can never smoke a cigarette. You can never say an ugly word. You can go to church every time the door's ever been open. And the best day that we can do is die and go to hell. He said, there's none good, no, not one. We've got to trust His Son, the ultimate sacrifice that took our wickedness on the cross and died in our stead. And we've got to access that grace by faith. As many as received Him, to them He gave the power to become the Son. I'm glad I'm saved. Have you always done right? No. But I've always wanted to since I got saved. Do you make mistakes now? Yeah. More than I want to admit. But I'm glad I'm one of his youngins. I'm glad I can go to a place and a time where the Lord saved me. Can you? You say, well, preacher, that's never happened to me. We've never been saved. It's got to be a time Christ knocked on your heart. You know what little Olivia done? 4 years old. She come running in the living room this week. Me and her mama was there and Renee. And she'd run all the way back to the pet room a little harsh. She said, Pop, fill in my heart. Said, it's a beeping. I said, yeah. She said, that's Jesus. I'm glad I can go to a time when Jesus dealt with my heart. And at that time, in your own way, you've had to accept Him by faith. I'm not telling you there's one word you've got to say, but your heart's got to turn to Christ. Aren't you glad it's by grace? Nothing that we deserve. I said all that to say this, religion's going to send more people to hell. You've got to have an experience with Jesus. The purpose of prayer is contact with God. There must be a relationship with Him, a father and child relation. Then there must be a reliance upon God. Talking about in contact with God, not only is there got to be a relationship, there's got to be a reliance. God wants us to rely on Him. And you know something? God has blessed this ministry in such a way, we better be careful to not drop the reins and think we're doing something. God can get our attention just like that. We take a lot of things for granted. We better appreciate what we got and who God is and what He's doing for us around here. Now you got to have a reliance upon God. Hebrews 11:6. What is prayer for? Well, it's to have contact with God. There must be relationship and there must be reliance. Boy, He wants us to rely on Him. Hebrews 11, verse number 6. The Bible says, but without faith, it's impossible to please Him. Impossible. But without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and watch this, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. There are rewards for coming to God. Prayer is contact with God. Number two, prayer is communion with God. Having made contact with God, a believer can hold communion with God, or you can walk with God. I'm glad through prayer we can have communion. 1 John 1:3, right before the book of Jude, turn with me. 1 John 1:1, verse number 3, that which we've seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son. These things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. Joy don't come from pills. Don't come from a bottle. And I'll be honest with you, as good as my marriage is, it don't come in a marriage. As great of a ministry and church this is, it don't come in a church. It only comes by fellowship with the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. And can I tell you that prayer is meant to not only have contact with God, but to walk in communion with God. I wonder how he feels if you've not talked with him in a while. You know, I found out the more people you're around and the more you talk to them, the more you get to know them. I believe God wants us to talk to him that we may know him better. Because he knows me and you inside out. Prayer is to have contact with God. Prayer is to have communion with God. And then lastly, prayer is to have cooperation with God. Lord, this hurts. You say, preacher, the older that I've been in the Lord now, I've experienced more storms than ever. You know why? Because you couldn't have took it to start with. Isn't it amazing, Paul, in his last days, shipwrecked, snake bit, washed up on the island at Melita. Well, you'd think things would go to calming down. No. Because I'm going to tell you, a lot of times God's will is not our will. God's ways are not our ways. There's a lot of questions. I don't have the answers. I don't know why 20 little young'uns was killed last Friday. I have no idea why God allowed that. Did God make that happen? No, I don't think he made it happen, but he allowed it to happen. Nothing takes him by surprise. I found in my life things come that hurts me, and the only way I get through it is to have this communion with God. As Brother Josh had said tonight, when we pray, it lets us get in cooperation with God. It's hard when folks hurt you. It's hard when people steal about everything you got. It's hard when you lose a loved one. But I can tell you the purpose of prayer, it's for cooperation with God. You know, Jesus said, Lord, not my will, but thy will be done. And I've noticed this about the will of God for my life. He knows best. I ask you tonight in closing, how many prayers have me and you prayed, and now we've got through it, we're glad God didn't answer them? Sounds like to me that this thing of praying ought to get us in cooperation with God. Well, God, I'm a living for you, and I love you, and I'm a serving you, and one day I'm going home to live with you. And Lord, you've allowed this to come in my life, so Lord, I just need your grace to help me to accept it. Nothing takes him by surprise. There was a cheerleader here that was killed at the church one year. Y'all remember that? The building wouldn't hold the people. The stage full of kids. Man got up and said, this is an accident of nature. What I should have done then, said, sir, well, we've had enough, but I knew it wasn't the time and place. I thought maybe I could get up and say something that would fix that stupid remark. There are no accidents with God. For we know that all things work together for good to those that love God. Ain't no accident. There's a sovereign God that has a purpose for me and you. And not willing that any man should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God don't put you in hell. You send your own self to hell. Now, lastly, prayer is cooperation with God. It is taking up on His yoke and sharing His redemptive work with others. You join in on His motives for declaring the glory of God and the needs of men. First of all, we ought to pray for sinners. 1 Timothy 2, verse number 1. We ought to pray for sinners. Talk about in cooperation with God. The Bible teaches us that we ought to pray for sinners. And I'm going to tell you something. This right here is a hard verse. This is hard right here to swallow. 1 Timothy 2, verse 1. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplication, prayers, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for all men. That's our president. I don't agree with everything he's done, nor is he doing. But my Bible says I need to pray for him. Look what it says, verse 2, for kings and for all that are in authority. I mean, you've got to think about the load that man's got on his shoulders. He's got decisions to make. And we can throw rocks all day long. Ain't going to get nothing done. The Bible says, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet, peaceful life in godliness and honesty. And this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. Watch. Underline it. Learn it. Know it. Who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of truth. Pray for sinners. Now watch, I'm going to give you something right here in verse 1 that you may understand. You see the word supplication? Look what he says. First, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving thanks. There's four things there that we ought to be doing on our knees. Watch what they are. First of all, supplication. That has a means of a request, needs, or desires. God, this is what I need. And I know you know it before I asked you. But He still wants us to pray and ask Him. Didn't He say you have not because you ask not? Supplications. That is the request, needs, desires. Number two, prayer. It has to do with praise and worship. Adoring Him. Number three, look what He used. Intercessions. That has to do with benefiting others. Praying on others' behalf. Have you ever got down and started praying and somebody come on your mind you ain't thought of in years? God's having you pray for them. Intercessions, that's helping others. How many people are you helping praying? Do you pray for your pastor? Do you pray for the leadership of your church? Do you pray for your brothers and sisters? Praying on behalf of other people. And then look, giving of thanks. That's appreciation. God, thank you. Lord, thank you. Well, preacher, I ain't got a lot to thank Him for. Times is tough at our house. I know times are tough, folks. I know that. I'm not belittling situations. But I'm telling you something. God has been good to us. God's been good. We ought to pray for sinners. Two, we ought to pray for saints. Ephesians 6, verse number 18. Not only for sinners, but we ought to be praying for saints. Ephesians 6, verse number 18. Praying always with all prayer. And supplication, look, in the Spirit. The Spirit got to be right. Watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. All saints. We ought to be praying for one another. Prayer does change things. Brother Horace Wilson, he's a preacher friend of mine. He's 84 years old. He's pastoring one of his first churches. And he told me one time, I even think he told it here. And I love to get around these old men of God and what they got to say. He said, I got in the deacons meeting in the first church of pastor. Said, man, we had 12, 15 deacons. And he said, they just in there smoking in the meeting room in the church. I mean, they just firing up their stogies in the meeting room. He said, "Preach, that bothered me." He said, "Man, that bothered me. What ought to bother? It ought to bother them fellers." Well, he said, "Let me tell you what I done. Instead of just turning the tables over and getting run off," he said, "I started praying. God, show them that's wrong. Convict them of that." He said, "Y'all know what happened." He said, "They called a deacon's meeting. I walked in there," and he said, "the chairman stood up and he said, 'Fellas, I don't know about y'all, but now this smoking in here has got to stop.'" Said, "God's been dealing my heart. We ought not be doing this in the church house." And it started like dominoes. See, prayer changes things. You got a child way out yonder tonight. You got a child under you. Let me tell you, prayer changes things. If prayer wasn't effective, why is it all in our Bible? Did you know, I've noticed this, it's a lot easier to read than pray. It's a lot easier to go to the hospital and visit than pray. Boy, the devil don't want you praying. Then lastly, not only should we be praying for sinners and saints, we ought to be praying for situations. Philippians 4 and 6. Last place I go tonight, Philippians 4 and 6. "Let your moderation be known unto all men, the Lord's at hand," verse 5. Be careful, that word is worry. Be worried for nothing. Now, what does that not cover? What does that cover? Be careful or be worried for nothing. Well, that sure helps me with the meeting I had with Brother Mike this week. We had a budget meeting. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication. That word's hooked there with prayer a lot. Look here, and here it is again. With thanksgiving. Not only am I telling him what I need, what my desires are, but I'm adoring him and I'm worshiping and I'm thanking him. He loves to be thanked. You know something that turns me off quicker than anything? It's to help somebody and they're not thankful. And they throw it right up in your face and it wasn't good enough. Anybody ever felt that way? I'm the only one like that. I'm talking about you done something good for somebody and they ain't said thank you yet. That just galls me. I mean, you done without that they may have and, well, I deserve that. Look, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts, look here, and minds through Christ Jesus. It's amazing what prayer do. How you can vent and unload. And I'll be honest with you, I found this out about God. He'll just let you unload. He knows we're human. I mean, who are we fooling? We're human. We got to have God. Whatever happened to the humility of a church would gather around and all say, "God, we got to have you to pay bills." Whatever happened to church, get around and I'll say, "God, we got to have you to save Sam." Them forefathers would do it. Them grandmas would get on the altar and they'd call your name till heaven heard it. I'm glad that we're in a church tonight where you can come to the altar and somebody's not saying, well, what's wrong with them? People do that, they need a good Holy Ghost uppercut. What, wonder what they got into. They ought to be on their face first. Folks, prayer changes things. We need to remember to pray. It's what he said. You better put it on. Pray. You mamas better be praying for these young'uns. They're facing things that they've never had to face. Your grandbabies facing things that they've never had to face. Appreciate you being here tonight. Stand with us.